grab the keys to a new Toyota.
Let's go!
And go apple picking. Go to a football game. Go ghost hunting. Or not. This fall, get a low lease on the sporty 2024 Corolla. Adventure-ready RAV4 Hybrid, rugged Tacoma, and even the new all-hybrid 2025 Camry.
Grab the keys, come on, let's go!
Toyota, let's go places. Offer available to TFS buyers with premium rated credit until 11/4/24.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. What is happening? We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the New York Rangers today from Madison Square Garden. It is a 3:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network, a 4 o'clock go time. I will also be with you on 3:30 on NBC Sports California for the pregame coverage. And then we'll be with you again on Saturday, the 4th of this 4-game homestand before they come home for one against Detroit again on the 18th before they go back out on the road. But yeah, this is a fun stretch for the Sharks right now, because even though they are coming off of a shootout loss to Philadelphia, they've still walked away with 3 out of possible 4 points in these first two games. They're 5-2-1 in their last 7, and they have been playing better and better hockey over the course of the start of the season. And yes, they did start out 0-7-2, but it's been a process of improvement, which I think is the important thing to take into consideration. And even when they do have moments where they are playing not as well as they have, they've seemed to find a quick rectification. For instance, I've been comparing the end of the game 2 Saturdays ago against Vancouver, in which they scored late to tie and potentially send it to overtime, only to concede with over 25 seconds or so to go. And then they lost that game, didn't get a point out of it. Similar situation against Philadelphia. They tie late, but they were able to hold on and get a point. So these are the things that I'm looking for. No, you're not expecting them to go 5-2-1 over every 7. At least if you are, I think you're going to be sorely disappointed. But I am expecting them to continue to show growth from one game to the next and continue to look like a team that is able to be better in certain critical situations. Because it's those critical moments where the Sharks have at many times faltered. And that's what you're looking for at this point. How are they going to handle those moments? How are they going to handle these certain situations to where they figure it out? But yeah, I am excited for tonight, or this afternoon, I should say, just because I want to see the Sharks against a good team on the road. With a couple days rest, there's a great opportunity for them. It's not like they've been traveling around great distances from New Jersey to Philadelphia, back to New York, and then to Pittsburgh. These are quick trips. These are short stops. These are a team that can get to know each other that much better on the road early in the year, have some fun, get some good meals in them, and go out there and want to kick some butt on the road. I want to see a fired-up Sharks team tonight. I want to see a fired-up Barclay Goodrow going against the team that didn't want to keep him around. That should be motivation for him to go have a very good game. And guess what? He had a good game the other night against Philadelphia. He was fighting. He was scoring goals. That's exactly why he was brought in. So for San Jose now, see what they can do against this Rangers team. Now, another thing that we constantly find ourselves talking about these days is player development for young players. The Sharks, at this point, are defined by their young players. And it's something that's kind of thrown around. So with the goals in town, I decided to talk with our good friend Brett Hedekin, now working for Anaheim and the Gulls. And I wanted to ask him about his role working in player development for the Ducks and the Gulls. Enjoy. All right, we now have joining us, it is a special guest and a good friend of the San Jose Sharks. It's a man that we all miss, and that is Brett Hedekin, who is now working for Anaheim and San Diego in player development. Heddy, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Ted, great to hear your voice. It's been too long since I've heard that voice. But I've been busy. Been clearly, working with, hired by the Anaheim Ducks to be part of their player development staff, and they put me to San Diego here the next couple of years for sure. To work with all their young prospects. And so it's been exciting for me to get back involved in the game at a deeper level, start working with players individually, every day. I'm working with, 16 of our prospects out of the, 22 guys that are on our roster, I guess. It's a lot of guys to develop in a short amount of time. But you know what? It's an exciting time for the Anaheim Ducks, exciting time for the San Diego Gulls, and trying to get better quicker like we all are trying to do.
So people hear the term player development thrown around a lot in modern sports, but I guess Give me a more clear definition of what your role entails and how you are working to develop these young players.
Yeah, I think when you go back to a guy that's played a long time, and I was fortunate enough to play 1,000 games and plus and playoff games and all the different things in Olympics, and I've had a lot of ups and downs. So we all do when you play that many years. And I think in order to play a lot of years, you have to be able to what I call self-assess. You've got to be able to self-evaluate. You've got to have some humility to know that you don't have all the answers, and you got to be coachable, right? You got to be willing to look at yourself and figure out, you know, if you didn't win the Stanley Cup that year, you better go back to the drawing board and figure out ways of getting better and making yourself mentally better, physically, neurologically, all those things that it takes to when you put yourself into a situation to win a Stanley Cup, all of those things you worked on for all those years come, you know, culminate to the top, and you're utilizing all of the tools that you learned, and it helps you win a cup someday. And the only reason why I could say that is because I went through it. I went through moments in that Stanley Cup final in 06 where we won, where I used the neurological piece. I used the, you know, the mental skills, where I did a lot of sports psychology, breathing techniques, meditation, training. My training was next level and allowed me to stay and have more endurance and really be able to learn how to do that. So my job entails utilizing all those tools, seeing it in young players where I can notice maybe, you know, stick handling needs to improve, passing needs to improve, you know, the mental side of the game isn't where it needs to be, or the training, maybe the legs aren't strong enough yet. So I dive in every player individually, working with them on and off the ice, and try to just be a positive force in their life to be able to push them to the next level. And, you know, that takes time. It takes trust. It takes, you got to invest in relationships. And that's been the funnest piece for me, is not only, you know, being a part of a locker room again, but also investing in people and seeing some results already early on the season.
The youth in hockey right now, Hedy, has an incredible skill set. They are simply far ahead of where kids were a generation ago. The flow of information with social media, it seems, you know, a generation ago, anybody did a Michigan and we all lost our minds. Now you can go on TikTok and see some 11-year-old doing it. And I'm sure even younger. But is it difficult when you're dealing with these kids who are so super high skilled, to where everything's come so naturally to them, to where now they're maybe hitting roadblocks for the first time?
Yes, roadblocks. Sometimes they get sat out a game that they've never, ever been sat out before by a coach to say, hey, you got to watch this one from up in the rafters. And that's a hard thing to hear for any of these athletes. But sometimes it's really taking a step back to take two steps forward. And, you know, yes, the Michigan, all the skill has come a long way in our game. But what hasn't changed in hockey, which is really fun, is that in order to win hockey games, I don't care if you're a young team like we are, one of the second youngest in the AHL, or an old veteran team, you have to find ways within the game of hockey to play as a team and to, you know, play to the strengths that you have within the personnel that you have. So not only are you trying to individually, you know, get players better, but also you're starting to, you know, really coach these players maybe sometimes for the first time, where they're really starting to see, wow, on film, this is where I should have been and I'm not. And teaching them where to be, you know, at what time of the game, at, you know, in what position. And as they start to see video and see it the right way, now they're starting to learn. And that's also an exciting time.
Most definitely. And I would wonder if the other thing I want to look at with these kids, especially the offensive players, is they've spent so much of their careers playing with the puck on their stick. How much do you have to tell them about the other aspects of game, about the defensive responsibilities, things that have not been core to their game up to this point?
Well, of course. And that's really where the growth can happen, is learning not only the defensive side, but also the puck protection, right? I mean, when you get in the corner, there's so many players, you know, when you chip the puck in the corner, you're going after in the forecheck, it's one thing to get it, but it's another thing to make a play when you get there, right? And a lot of times there's so many teams that are so good at, you know, one guy takes the body and the next, they call it a second guy in, that close second support that steals the puck from me and off they go the other way. Well, a lot of times teams are switching sides with the puck. They're getting it out to the point, or they're holding on to pucks in the corner, and you're not throwing pucks away. It's teaching players how to get that puck, how to escape the pressure, how to protect it. and utilizing their edges, their cutbacks, and utilizing their teammates in ways where they never really had to do that as much as they do in at this level, and then clearly at the next level, where it even gets even harder when you get stronger, faster players that are going to lean on you a little bit more. So learning those skills, Ted, at the AHL level, and getting it where you can, I guess the game is played at maybe a hair slower than the National Hockey League, gives them a chance to kind of acclimate, and then before you know it, they're ready to make that jump. And usually when they're ready.
One of the things that always I appreciate about you, Hedy, is you talked so much about the training. And if I was not as good about talking about other men performing, I'd probably be involved in some sort of human performance, training or strength and conditioning, because I think that is such a fascinating, and we've just started to get into what the human body is capable of. But one of the things that you always talked about is how your training adapted, and I know that you told me about that. The guy, I can't remember where you said it was, but he had a special treadmill that you could show that the rate at which guys slowed down on this special treadmill that was specifically for skating would show the rate at which their performance would or would not decrease in a game. I'm just curious how much of that is also part of it to teach these young kids about the aspects of training and with that nutrition, just to make themselves as good of an athlete as they can be. Because, I know you said the game is a hair slower than the NHL, which is true, but that's only because the NHL is so amazingly fast. I mean, I've been lucky enough to fill in for Noli now on 5 games straight for the Barracuda, and just watching the skill level out there and the speed of the game. I mean, it's everywhere. It's such a good product right now. And I think about these young kids who are probably getting pushed at a level that they never have been before. I mean, if you're a 19-year-old kid and then you're going into the corner against Ryan Carpenter, that's probably not going to end well for you, just knowing how strong and how physical he is and how experienced he is at this point of his career. But now we're asking 19 and 20-year-old kids, like, hey, catch up fast.
Yep. Yes. You're pushing them. It is amazing, though, now, Ted, that you look at all the support within a locker room. Like you say, the nutritionists that we have sports science people that are really monitoring, their levels of energies every day. You have strength and conditioning coaches that are sometimes, world class, strength and conditioning people. And then you get really excellent coaching, right? I mean, you get all of these things kind of culminating into one th area of support to try to make these players better and faster. And I think, getting back to the sports, the neurology piece that I really had to work on as a player is, getting the mind and the body to be connected. And what does that mean? That means when you're skating down the ice like a Connor McDavid at 100 miles an hour, and he's moving the puck back and forth, stick handling it, he's still being able to stick handle, move his feet, and then also be able to survey the land, basically look where the players are that are available, that he can pass the puck to, or hold on to it, or cut back, or do whatever he needs to do. But that's all the nervous system being able to handle more things at the same time. And yeah, so I worked a lot on something, one of those treadmills that allowed me to move my feet, stick handle at the same time, count down from 100 while I'm watching a hockey game in the upper right-hand corner of a TV that was on at the same time, right? You're doing multiple things at the same time. So I've worked with players already here with the goals and teaching them how to juggle, how to count down from 100 while you're jumping back and forth, adding more things into their nervous system to allow the game to slow down for them. So these are all the things that I love to do. I love to kind of use these tools that I learned to make me better, and just try to apply it to this next generation to make them better.
Are they listening to you? I mean, you walk in with pelts on the wall, Eddie. No one can deny it. But also, when you're working with young players, when things have always worked so well with them, when what they've done up to this point, are they always willing to listen?
Well, I think that's, yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, you have to gain trust, right? You don't just come in there guns a-blazing and think that you can throw whatever you did in your career in their face and they're going to listen to you. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. You got to invest in that relationship in each one individually. And as the longer and the more you build trust, the more they're willing to be open-minded about, listening to you and asking questions and trying to learn more. I think that's one area that I'm still learning to get and tap into their brains, right? And to be able to build that trust even more. Because sometimes what I learned, the more I learned as a player, the more humility I got. And that's sometimes a rare, thing is to be able to get more humility. Meaning for me, you don't have all the answers. And so as I got older in my career, I kept learning and kept looking for more answers and searching, where a lot of kids, they think they might have all the answers, right? And you have to teach them to say, no, keep learning, keep trying to get better, keep sharpening your blade. And I think through time, you know, these are things that I'm learning, and I'm loving the challenge.
Maybe the most important question, are you having fun?
Oh, does it sound like I'm having fun, Ted?
It does.
No, I'm having a great time. It's exciting, man. If you can't hear it in my voice, I'm very passionate about this and the role I have. And I'm really hoping I can make a difference.
No, I mean, Hedy, I'll embarrass you a little bit here, but I always enjoyed finding you right after the games, because you would come to me and say things, you know, as if I could apply it myself on the ice, which I always thought was great. You'd say down to Ted on this play, his stick was here, it needed to be here, he needed to be rating here. And I loved it because it was such a great insight, because you always had that immediate reaction after the game. And I could tell you were still processing it all in your head. And, you know, when I'd run into you after the games, you would give it to me straight. And I thought it was so cool. And I thought to myself, players need to be hearing this. As much as we loved having you, the broadcaster here in San Jose, I'd always think to myself, players need to hear this, because your desire to explain and tell people about it was palpable. So now, Hedy, to watch you in that role, it's really awesome, man. I'm very happy for you.
Boy, thanks, Ted. I appreciate it. And just, you know, for the Sharks, you know, fans and the people that really adopted me into the Shark world, I want to say thank you. And thanks for the opportunity to be able to broadcast for all those years. What a wonderful journey it was with Dan and Randy and Drew and Bakes and, you know, all the guys I've had the opportunity to work with, yourself. It's just been an incredible run game. Still, it's been a lot of fun.
The important thing, Hedy, is I still get to bother you for stuff like this. But thank you for your time, man, and I will see you a little bit later, all right?
Sounds good, Ted. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Again, that is Brett Hedekin, former Sharks broadcaster, now working in player development for the Ducks as well as the Gulls. And just really good insights from him to hear about what it takes in the NHL and developing your mind and, you know, just working on these various aspects that you have to with these young players so they can understand what it takes in the NHL, because we're watching and heavily scrutinizing Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini and Jack Thompson, right? And we're also looking at Colin Graf, and we're also paying attention to what Sam Dickinson is doing and all these guys as they are developing at players. And we need to figure out what exactly we're asking of them and what we should be asking of them, because it's something that we consistently see presented time and time again as an argument, even if we don't always know exactly what we are expecting to see beyond goals and assists. We often hear that as the measure, but, you know, if you recall my conversation that I had with Kevin Kurz the other day, he spoke about, you know, Connor Bedard being, you know, troubled with defense, and Matvei Michkov having trouble in terms of all of his assignments while being very good on the power play. Like, these players have an incredibly high skill level, but they're also prone to mistakes, and they also have deficiencies that's no different from any other player in the NHL, regardless of whether or not they have a high draft status attached to them, young or old. These guys have to learn how to be players. They have to develop. They have to put the work in to become what we all think they are capable of. Now, I think that one of the things that Mike Grier has done very well, and his staff here in San Jose, is to draft guys who have a very high work rate, who are willing to put in the hard work to be better players and do not view themselves as finished products. That is going to go a long way for San Jose to allow them to keep on advancing as a team, because you can't just allow these players to think, yeah, I got drafted high, my game is complete. Your game's never complete. It's always evolving. One of the reasons why a player like Joe Pavelski, who did not have an incredible amount of physical skill, was able to be a good player for so long is he found different ways to contribute. He improved different aspects of his game. He kept on working and working and working. And it's that hard work that will allow you to be a better player when all is said and done. And I think that Mike Grier brought in those guys who do have that attitude, who do have that mentality that they seek and strive to be better players every single day. And that's fun. I think that's how it should be. And you want to have that mentality bleed down the team. All right, just taking a look at the standings right now. The Sharks, 5-9-3, seventh in the Pacific, 13 points on the year, more points than Anaheim, more points than Nashville, tied in points with Chicago, more points than Columbus, more points than Montreal. That's, again, indicative of what's going on with San Jose. The team is overall playing better. It's been very enjoyable to watch as of late, and that's why I'm excited for this game tonight against the Rangers. All right, we are out of time. I will see you tomorrow morning on Morning Tide. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
Here's Grantland back in with Celebrini. Celebrini gets the drift to the left, shoots one, score! Oh, Matt Celebrini's got that rocket of a shot. The first thing he did was he made a great move to the middle of the ice. But what a wrister!